Welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean the Natural Vet, who's an integrative, holistic vet who can help you make good decisions for your pet's wellness. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here every week to take your calls about your pets, and we'll answer on the air any question you send us to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Also, send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. Please check out all the wonderful pet shows I co-host every week on our network. Stay tuned tonight for my NPR show, Dog Talk and Kitties Too. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, companies we've invited to be here. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And who is really here with me, because it is the first Tuesday of the month, is the divine, adorable, and brilliant Anne-Marie Sawicki, the official animal communicator of the show, who is here every first Tuesday of each month. That's 12 times a year. You had better start dialing if you want to get a line, because this happened at SiriusXM, One Cat Chat. What was there for 7 years, the lines would crash. People would spend the whole hour getting a busy signal, fretting, chewing their fingernails. I recommend you grab a line early, the way Chris has already done. 888-627-6008. Hello, Anne-Marie Sawicki. How's life by you, honey?
Good, sweetie. And how are you?
I'm dandy. I'm so excited that Chris has already called, but I was going to be like way selfish tonight and ask you questions about some of my pets who've crossed over the Rainbow Bridge, and I just wonder how they're doing. So you guys come first. I am the hostess, so I get served last. So I do recommend that if you don't want me to start going down my path of my animals that have crossed over the Rainbow Bridge, because there's quite a lot of them. I mean, you know, the older you get, the more there are. Call now, because you will come before me. 888-627-6008. And we want to send a shout out to New York City, to all of you at the corner of 47th and Lexington, in the middle of Manhattan, at the corner of the Roger Smith Hotel in the Halo pop-up shop. Anne-Marie, do you know that Halo for 1 month is doing this wild and crazy idea of having a store where they just sell goodness? How about that?
Kudos to them. It's about time somebody did that.
That's right. It's goodness for its own sake. You can go in there. You can make a donation to the Halo Pet Foundation. 100% of every dollar or penny goes to helping pets in shelters and rescues. That's their mandate. FreeKibble.com is giving out lots of meals to shelter animals for all the Halo that is bought in other stores, actual stores. But if you go into the Halo City Tales store, Halo City Tales NYC, where we are simul-broadcasting, and you guys there have got a treat in store. Just sit back and listen if you want, or stand around on the sidewalk. Hello, hello. This is Cat Chat and Dog Talk on the Radio Pet Lady Network. But if you're smart, you'll dial 888-627-6008 and have such an amazing experience as Anne-Marie connects to the pets you're living with now. It does not have to only be dogs or cats. It can be any pet you're living with now, or any pet you've had earlier in your life, companion animal of any species who may have crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. So we're going to jump right in with Chris, who was a smart early bird. Chris, welcome to the show. What's your question for Anne-Marie?
Well, I was going to ask you about a couple of our dogs, but I've narrowed it down to one of them that's still living. His name is Teddy.
Okay, describe Teddy. Okay, describe him.
Yeah. Teddy is a little black, or I guess African-American dog. He's kind of a chow mix. He's about 40 pounds. I would say chow and skillsaw mix. He just my wife says chow and dachshund. So he's a little, he looks like a Rottweiler with long hair and a curly tail, and he comes up to your shin.
That is hilarious. That is a great visual. It's a little shocking. He sounds like quite the Heinz 57. So what do we want to ask about Teddy?
Well, okay, and here's the thing. He is part Heinz 57 and part traveling salesman. He wants to fight, but not he's not like to the death, but he wants to fight anybody at any time. He's like He's like that guy, want to make my day, you know, Dirty
Harry. Yes, yes,
yes. Number one fight. He's 0-412 is his record, his fighting, his professional fighting record. But he takes on all comers. And I just want to know, does he really think that he can win these fights? Or is he scared and feels like he has to, I won't even say get the first punch in because he can't do that? He's that dog that lurches forward and, like Bugs Bunny, in 12 seconds he's on his back trying to hand him a $20 bill. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Well, I just want to know, is he really that mean, or is he scared, or why won't he listen to the rest of the world, reason?
What questions do you have for him, Anne-Marie?
First of all, Chris, about how old is Teddy?
Teddy is about seven and a half.
And he's been doing this his whole life?
He has. We brought him home from the rescue place. We rescued him, and he was brought into a place. He was the smallest dog by far. We had Rottweilers. We had 106-pound Rottweilers. We had Mastiffs, English Mastiffs, French Mastiffs. We had 115-pound Golden Retriever, and he took them all on. And they didn't take him seriously. But, yeah, he's been that way the whole time.
Okay. Okay, first of all, Chris, when you were describing Teddy, you used the word little. He didn't like that at all. I don't want to say he has a complex, but he does have an issue going on where apparently wherever he was before at the rescue place, even though he's sweet and he's, you know, really good looking, according to him as well as you, a lot of people overlooked him, and it really bothered him. And you can say that it gave him a little bit of a complex. So now this complex that he has now at 7.5 years old, he's going to go out and take on the world because he wants the world to see him. And he's not afraid of anything, which is what scares me.
Right.
Because he just may take off after something, and it could be a Rottweiler or something a lot bigger and stronger than him, and it could be goodbye, Teddy. But he does have some issues that really need to be addressed.
I was going to rub him down a bacon grease and go ahead and pitch him over the fence, but I thought better of it. When you started talking, he actually piped up and started walking towards the phone. It was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. That's a real sign of what happens to a lot of people when they're asking a question about one of their pets, and the pets that were doing nothing and just minding their own business suddenly are having some connection to Anne-Marie, and you can see it in your own home. And this is something that those of you listening that are skeptical, when this happens, it's always sort of surprising and seems like a so-called coincidence to the owner, but it's not. It's a proof of what's really transpiring between her and him. So what have you done to manage him, though, Chris?
Well, okay, you know, we've had big dogs, so we have to be in charge of them, and we've never had a problem. We've always been in charge of our dogs. And with him, no matter what approach we take, whether it's a positive approach,
right,
whether it's putting him in timeout, nothing
sure
works. And I hate saying that because I've seen it on TV, but to this date, and to my daughter's dismay, the shock collar works. And I want to stick him in a mud puddle and turn it all the way up, and I'm not allowed to, but the shock collar works. And once you do it one time on, like, 4, and it goes up to, like, 9, and he's got a lot of fur, he's better. He's better for the rest of, you know, that month. But that's the only thing that works, and I hate to say that, but that's what works.
I hate to say it, too, because it's actually a misuse of a piece of equipment that's not meant to be used that way. But I guess you have a situation where otherwise he's in some kind of jeopardy. Well, he's got an inferiority complex, and it probably didn't help that he moved into a house with animals 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times bigger than he is. You know, it probably just increased that, or his Napoleon complex, right, Anne-Marie, where
right, mm-hmm,
he thinks he's a big guy, but he's surrounded by some of the bigger breeds of dogs that exist, and he's just, you know, he's outnumbered and outpounded, and, you know, it's only going to make his own complex harder on him.
Chris, what I would suggest you start doing is talk to him like you would talk to a child and say, you know what, Teddy, you are very special. You're very special to us. We love you very much, and you're staying here. That's it. But you cannot go up flaunting yourself in front of these other dogs and trying to take them on in a fight because something will happen to you, and we would be very upset. and we would be hurt if something happened to you. This way you want him to think about something else, like, oh, I love being here, and I love, by the way, he does love you. He loves you very much, and he wouldn't want to see you hurt. So play to that aspect of him so that you can change his way of thinking.
Okay. I will.
That's a good idea. And of course, try to not put him in situations where he feels he has to show this side of himself. You know, give him some separation. Give him a space where he's not surrounded by, you know, by tall buildings, which are other dogs. But it's, you know, it's a good question, and I think he's answered it to Anne Marie. And he's just, you know, he's outgunned. He is the, it sounds like a situation where if you had another family member who didn't have a dog or had another small-ish dog, he would probably be a lot more comfortable in a home without a lot of really gigantically big dogs surrounding him that make him feel, just by their very existence, that he has to prove something. But I'm not saying to rehome him. Sorry, we lost what you said in the meantime. But it's very good that you called in, and we really appreciate it. We love you getting a reading from Anne Marie. And we're going to go to a quick break right now. When we come back, you too can ask a question of Anne Marie, or I get to be next. 888-627-6008. Come on, you folks in the Halo pop-up store, Halo City Tales, New York City. Give us a call, 888-627-6008. Don't you want to know what your dogs and cats are thinking? We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feel-Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feel-Away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel-Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for Feel-Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. You're listening to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. This is the special first Tuesday of the month. So we have Anne Marie Sawicki, our wonderful official animal communicator here. And our number for you to get a reading, a sense of what your pets are thinking, or if you have a pet that's passed away at any time and has crossed the Rainbow Bridge, she's really great at making those connections too. Our number is 888-627-6008. So Anne Marie, I want to go back to the very first dog I ever had. He was a wonderful Bedlington Terrier. His name was Pango. And my parents were given him about 6 months before I was born. So I grew up with Pango as my brother. I mean, you know, I crawled around. He walked around on all fours, too.
You were puppies together. Okay.
We were puppies together, exactly. And he was a swell dog. He traveled all over the world with us, lived with us three different times in Italy. Some of the trips we took an ocean liner, and the dogs could go on the ocean liner. I remember walking them on some upper deck. He was a great traveler and a swell dog. He could be really aggressive and attack other dogs, but it seemed to happen randomly. Of course, in retrospect, I realize it's because he wasn't neutered, or at least that was part of the problem. In those days, you didn't neuter dogs. We're talking, you know, the dark ages.
Right.
So he passed away, or we took him to be euthanized in Rome in 1966, because he was not able to get up. He was 16 years old, as was I. If anyone wants to figure my age out, never mind. Mumble, mumble. And he was peeing in his bed. And obviously had lost bladder control. Now, if I was in America, and it was now, even though he was 16, you know what we'd do? A ton of tests and ultrasounds and x-rays and MRIs and urine specimens, and that none of that was available in Rome in 1966. I don't even know how we came upon a vet that could do euthanasia, because when I lived there again in the 1980s, there was no way for vets to humanely euthanize pets. They didn't even have the right drugs. Mm-hmm. Very primitive in this area. So we my mother actually took him without me to be put to sleep, and apparently it was kind of botched. The way she put it was that he, quote-unquote, kind of yelped and jumped off the table. Now, it could have been the sedative they gave him first, right? The injection could have hurt. Because mm-hmm. when we had to put my Yogi Bear, my Rottweiler, down, he yelped a little for just that sedative shot, not the IV that actually stops your heart. Either they're old and more sensitive at that moment, or just hits a little nerve. So I'm wondering, and I didn't go with her, and I've always felt really bad about that. I mean, I was only a teenager. I just couldn't face it. He was like my little puppy brother, right?
Right, sure.
And I'm just wondering, and he was a typical Bedlington Terrier, you know, looked like a little sheep with his little curled up tail, and you going to all the dog shows know what every breed of dog looks like. He was a fine fellow. He really was. And I just feel like I didn't really give him the kind of send-off that I've now learned is the kind one. You know, in your arms, with you talking to him. I was a kid. I didn't know any better. I had to make this decision. Apparently, there was some realization afterwards that he had some terrible tapeworm. I don't know. Italian veterinary medicine was so primitive. And there was just a different attitude about companion animals in those days. There just weren't all the diagnostic tests.
Exactly.
People didn't even think that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, how was that passing for him? Because then they put him to sleep after his yelpy, quote-unquote, jump off the table. And how is he? And where is he? And his little daughter, Pandora, we had bred him, and we got one puppy out of the litter. And little Pandy followed our school bus one day down the road. We had no idea. And she was hit by a car. So she died when she was young.
Aww.
So, you know, little Pandy, she was about not even 9 months old. I'm hoping Pango and Pandora are somewhere up there together.
Okay, hold on one second. Any special markings with Pango or just
Oh, well, yes, he had a dark mark on his chest from one of his dog fights when Bedlingtons were all white like a lamb, as you know. Mm-hmm. When they have an injury, whether it's a surgery, but more likely a dog fight, it grows back black for at least a while. And I think it may even stay black. I can't remember. Because when they're puppies, they're born charcoal gray.
Mm-hmm.
And then, except for the liver ones. And then they become white at about a year or something, right? So he had a jet black, charcoal black mark or two on his chest.
Interesting. Okay, first of all, quite a personality, very sweet, very knowing. You probably didn't know this back then, but he was quite profound.
Nice.
And what he's telling me, based upon everything that you've asked me and have just shared with me, he said, first of all, please tell her that, and he's speaking like an old wise man, please tell her that, first of all, it was best that she did not come in with me because she would not have been able to handle it. So it was best that she was outside the door. He said not so much that the yelp, because, again, I was given a sedative, and it was very quick the way that they gave me the needle. So it was very quick, and I wasn't expecting it. That's why I yelped.
Okay.
He said, but from her childlike perspective, she would not have been able to handle watching me transition. So I was thrilled that she was not in the room with me. He said the other thing is that she did give me a send-off. She just didn't know it. He said we probably spent more time together than she ever has with any of her other dogs.
That's
and we just had
true.
A very, very special bond. Even as a child, a very, very young child, and he's showing me you almost like in a crib, like a puppy. He said even back then we knew that we always communicated, we always talked, but she didn't know it back then. She knows it now, but she didn't know it then. He said, so please tell her that I am absolutely fine, and I have been with her entire journey, because she would not be on the radio today or writing those books had it not been for me.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. How do you like them apples?
He said, oh, one other thing. He said, and yes, Mom, meaning your mom, was in there with me. He said, just let Tracy know Mom didn't handle it too well either, but she kind of buckled up and walked out, and you never would have known the difference, but she did shed a few tears.
I'm sure she did. It was really hard for her to do alone. So I felt I'd let her down and him down.
Not
well, you know,
at
that
all.
That's very generous of him, right? I mean, animals have that sense of the whole idea of animals going off like in the jungle or under a bush to expire when their time is up, that kind of natural instinct of like being private and not imposing on anybody else.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, that's one of the things they often do. Pandora, you probably wouldn't get much. She was a very, you know, just a sweet young puppy. She didn't have much time on Earth. So I don't even have that strong of a memory of her except for a cute little puppy running around. You know, she didn't really have enough time to make her mark. Isn't there something that you talk about when puppies transition that it's kind of different than a dog that's matured? Or am I imagining something funny?
No, what happens when, just so everybody is very well aware, when an animal is a baby, a kitten, a puppy, whatever, they really cannot communicate till they're about a year or over older. The reason being is like little children, they are so fascinated with what's going on around them, a sound, a smell, a toy, whatever, that in order to try and communicate with them, it's just useless. It's just like, you know, you're beating your head against the wall and they just ignore you. But once they hit that year mark, it's a whole different story. They're really starting to develop and they are really like tuned into everything. When a baby animal transitions, it's so pure because there's really nothing connected with them.
Yes.
They have no memories of people that they were with because they haven't been here that long. So
exactly.
The only thing that they're taking with them in that total transition, and older animals do this too, yes, but what they take with them is nothing but love. There's no memory of, you know, being abused or anything like that. It's just pure love that they transition over with, and that's what stays with them.
So anybody that's out there that feels like they'd like to open up and find out a little bit more about, or anything at all, about what their pets that are with them now are thinking, or ones that have crossed over the Rainbow Bridge, this is a really great opportunity to do that. I don't want to hog the whole hour, but I have a lot of questions I've been saving up over the years. I never get a chance. And it's kind of a quiet night. I don't know how you all are doing at the Halo City Tales pop-up shop in New York City. You're probably there.
Just
sorry,
one thing, Tracy, if I may. Hey, you people at the Halo pop-up shop, we appreciate the fact that you're going in to donate money, et cetera, but I'm sure a lot of you are going in there thinking, gee, I would really love to adopt an animal. If
yes.
you're thinking about adopting an animal and you have one in mind, give us a call. Tell me what
Great
it is
idea.
That you're thinking of adopting. I can connect with that animal and find out if that animal is a good fit for you because you don't want to take that animal home and the two of you are fighting all the time. You want to make sure that that animal is happy to go with you and that the two of you are going to have a wonderful life together. So why don't
that
you start at the very beginning, see
yes.
who you want to adopt and give us a call, and let's take it from there.
That's a great idea because I know there's a lot of adoption events at the pop-up shop, the ASPCA, Bidewe. Other groups are bringing pets for adoption, senior pets. Our number is 888-627-6008. In fact, you know, when you go back to Chris's call about his small and very aggressive dog, it may be that that was probably not a brilliant idea to bring into a house full of 150-pound dogs.
Exactly.
You already have a dog with a chip on his shoulder. And then you put him in a situation where he has no choice but to be his feisty little self in self-defense or to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a case where he would be really happier and better off, and so are the people, in a home where he could be, you know, king of the castle. Maybe there's another dog or a cat, but not so many very large beasts. Yeah, that's a really good thing to know. I mean, a good adoption a situation would ask you to introduce your existing dogs to the dog you're considering adopting in a neutral territory. But that even that's hard to do because there's so much high adrenaline in those moments.
Of course, sure.
I mean, everyone's excited and on edge, and it's like going on a, you know, a blind date. So it's a great idea, Anne-Marie. Anyone who's met a dog or been to a shelter and been considering a dog, feel free to call us and let Anne-Marie connect with them and maybe tell the dog or the cat will tell you a little something about what they're looking for in a person, what they're looking for in their forever home, because they
Absolutely.
Do have strong opinions, right?
Absolutely.
Our number is 888-627-6008. Well, I'm going to sneak in a horse question because there are so many animals that have passed through my life. But a very special horse to me, we'll go back to the earliest of all these animals, was my first show pony, but I mean not a fancy show pony. It was a hunt club in Westport called the Fairfield County Hunt Club, and it sounds all rooty, tooty, snooty, but it really wasn't. I mean, you braided your own horse, and you kind of wore any old jacket, and there was an outdoor course you went careening over, and it wasn't like horse shows today where everyone's got a trainer and a groom and fancy clothes, and all the horses wear matching outfits. It wasn't like that. This horse, because it just that isn't how horse shows were, again, back in the dark ages. Lanny, or Lancashire Lad, in those days you could buy a horse by just reading in the Chronicle of the Horse, a publication which still exists in Middleburg, Virginia. People still advertise horses in there. All kinds of horse news is reported, dressage, jumpers, hunters, three-day eventing, Olympics, what have you. So I bought him from a kid that was going off to prep school, I mean, from his parents. And we went to visit him, and he came out of this dark little, it was almost like a cellar of a stall. It's a beautiful chestnut gelding, about 14'2". He had a white blaze and a white sock or two, and I was a flaming redhead. So we made quite a pair. And I think in those days, you know, $500 was really a lot for a horse. We're talking now $125,000 for a show.
Exactly.
Right? So, but it was really a lot because that was the environment. So Lanny came home with us and he was a great guy. I mean, I kept him at home during the summer. He had a nice little barn. We built him in some very nice fields. And then in the winter, he'd live at the hunt club because it was just like too freezing and ridiculous at my house for me to, it's Connecticut, you know, it was like too hard for a kid to take care of him. In the summers, one summer I spent in Wilton with some family friends. They had a barn with four or five horses, and we would ride to Pony Club every day at the Wilton Pony Club. It was really fun. And then we moved to Italy this year that Pango wound up dying. And I had to sell Lanny. What was I going to do with him? So we put an ad in the Chronicle like we had done, and I don't know who the person was, and I forget what the deal was that was made. I'm telling you, it was like a scene out of Black Beauty, Emery, and I want to know, where did Lanny wind up? That van came to get him. It was a commercial hauler, and I'm sure I was crying. I mean, it just was the saddest thing. I mean, this was a horse I would ride bareback. I could canter him just wearing a halter. My idea of a great day would be he'd be in the field loose eating grass, and I'd lie underneath his stomach, or I'd lie on his back, bareback, you know. And as he got into the van, and we had a very, very long driveway. It was had two rows of white birches all the way down to the street. And he called out to me and called out to me and called out to me. It was like, oh, God, you're killing me, my boy. And I'm wondering, where did he wind up? He couldn't still be alive. That was 1966, and he was already about 8. He couldn't still be alive. That's not possible.
Ew. Okay. This is different, but this is good.
Okay.
Pango just came in and said, you really don't want to tell her where he went.
Oh, my God.
I said, really? He says, you don't want her to know. And I said, okay. I said, how about when we hang up? I don't think so. I said,
wow.
Okay. So how about we talk about this off the air?
How about we don't even think about it? Cause
okay, that's fine.
You know what? This is why Black Beauty has to be every young girl and maybe guy's favorite book. The realization that if a horse leaves your property, leaves your care, it's going to go downhill for them. It's never going to be better. And if it's better, it might be better for a little while. And they all wind up in some horrible circumstance being used up in some way, not being respected and not being really coddled. And yeah, that's what we have back to worry
then,
about.
We didn't know back then what we know today.
Right. And I mean, the best thing you can do is you would pay $100 a month and send them to a farm in Virginia where they would just live outdoors and live out their life outdoors in a natural way with a bit of a herd, you know, a retirement home. We didn't know. He was still young and he could still jump and be a little show horse and Mary Legs and all those stories about Black Beauty where they wind up and they're hungry and they're skinny and they're beaten and their feet hurt and it's just awful. Well, I'm glad Pango saved us from the reality or the specifics.
Exactly.
Yikes. Listen, folks, don't be scared just because we got like the scary stop sign. You don't know what you're going to find out. It's all good. Even if it's, you don't know, it's part of the mystery of life. 888-627-6008. We're going to go off for a break. And when we get back, we have Jessica, a brave soul, who's going to ask something about maybe a pet who's here on Earth, and then we don't have to worry so much. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. It is the first Tuesday of the month, which means it's Anne-Marie Sawicki Night, our fantastic animal communicator. You can find out what your pets of any species are thinking, the ones who are living with you now, maybe the ones that are living with your parents, or ones that lived with you a long time ago and are no longer on this planet but across the Rainbow Bridge. Our number is 888-627-6008, and we want to welcome Jessica to the show. Hey, Jessica, what's your question for Anne-Marie?
Hi, Tracy.
Howdy.
This is Jessica, your biochemist friend.
Our biochemist friend. We love her. She knows all this stuff about blood lipid testing, which is so cool. And she has this darling little dog, Charlie, who got to wear an anxiety wrap and have an adaptable collar and get over a separation anxiety. Are you calling about darling Charlie?
Well, I was actually calling about my Delta therapy dog, Bailey. Charlie just had a dental yesterday, and I'll have to call another time about the anesthesia question because he did not have a good reaction to it, and that really kind of scared me, but... that might be a Dr. Sean question.
Definitely, or a Dr. Donna. So if you write it to me, we can address that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Bailey. Bailey's a German short-haired pointer, right?
No, he's the American Eskimo dog. He's a little white fluffy one.
Oh, man, they're so cute.
And he actually just got recertified 2 weeks ago for his it's now Pet Partners, not Delta anymore. But I had a question because I had adopted him when he was 3 years old. And I got him from just like this family kind of like, you know, on the outskirts of town in Jacksonville. I drove a couple hours to get him, just, you know, an ad on Craigslist. And I always wondered what his life was like before I adopted him, if he's, you know, happy with where he is now. And when when I went to pick him up, I had never seen him before. It's like we had this instant connection, and he just like ran to me, and like I've never seen a dog give a hug before, but he like wrapped his like around mine. It wasn't
seriously,
like a disrespectful thing.
Wow.
So,
what a crazy experience. You mean you bent down and this little guy came running to you and put his arms around your neck?
They pulled him out of the backyard on like this chewed up. It was like half of a leash, just chewed up. They kept it on him all the time, and they held on to it. And then when they went to bring him over, he just like pulled as hard as he could over to me, and it was just the weirdest experience ever. So.
Wow, he knew you were his savior. That's pretty cool.
So I was just wondering if, you know, if there was anything to that. And, you know, he has a lot of mannerisms of a dog I had years ago. And he just reminds me so much of my golden retriever, Milo, even though they don't look anything alike. Those are my questions, I guess.
Okay.
Jessica, how long have you had Bailey now?
Well, he's turning 7.
Oh, we having a party? Okay.
So, yeah, it's
4 years.
His birthday is June 10th, so he turned 7 then. So I guess 4 years, about.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Well, first of all, I would like to commence this by saying Bailey is an extremely intelligent dog. And he picks up very quickly. And when you had said, you know, I was kind of wondering what it was like for him before I got him, and you were mentioning certain things about the leash and the pulling and all of that, and he hugged you. He came right out and said, you know, that's the way it is with her. Sometimes it's right in front of her face, and she still questions it. So what I'm going
that's
to
really
say
funny.
To you is, that wasn't a coincidence that you and he are together. What you saw, yes, you absolutely saw. There was no, you know, let's just say his life was not a bed of roses. It is now a whole nursery of roses, according to him. He said when he saw you, this is cute. He said, I don't know what you look like, obviously, none of us do. But he said she looked like, to me, just a fluffy ball of love. And all I wanted to do was just hug her and put my face in her neck.
Aww.
Just like we would do with a puppy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he said, I so wanted to go home with her because she was just so sweet. And he said, like, quietly, she's got the nicest smile. But again, it's got, even if it's right in front of her, sometimes she just doesn't get it.
So it was pretty horrible where he was. Were they selling him on Craigslist, or were they giving him away?
Oh, no, he was free. I had put an ad out on Craigslist. I had always wanted American Eskimo dog, and I said, wanted American Eskimo, you know, and I gave my phone number, and they called me, like, it was probably even maybe a month after I'd put that out. I completely forgot about it. And I was doing it because I wanted a companion for Charlie. And
right.
Yeah. And
I've always
thought
American Eskimo dogs were so adorable. I just can't take my eyes off them. I mean, these little black button eyes, a little black nose, and this perfect little white body. They're just so darling. Isn't that an amazing story?
He's one of a kind for sure. And I had actually fostered a couple of dogs before I decided to adopt him. And it was just, I did it through a friend's rescue, and none of them really seemed to mesh well with Charlie. So I decided to let them go on to other homes. But so we fostered before we got Bailey.
So that's an interesting thing that people can do that they don't think about. Jessica, how did you introduce him to Charlie? How did you know they'd like each other?
Well, Charlie was really well socialized. He went to the dog park all of the time. So I just brought Bailey in, and at first we had him on a leash, and Charlie on a leash, and then they were, you know, they just were acting so friendly. We just let them loose and they played. And at the time there was no furniture in the living room, so they just, they had a ball. And they were just best friends after that. Yeah, and I did have one other question. Bailey does have one little thing that he does that's, like, kind of weird.
Okay.
He's kind of a serial humper with Charlie, and I was wondering what that's about. It's just, like, and I'll be, like, sitting there at the table, and then I see it, and I'm like, Bailey, stop, please. I know Charlie's not enjoying this. And
the thing about that mounting behavior is that it is a way to play or slash be dominant, not in a miserable way dominant, but it's if you see two dogs playing really well and humping is part of it, they should sort of take turns. You be the humper, I'll be the humpy, and now we'll change. I mean, for some dogs, that's an okay way to play. And Marie, I think you'd agree with me that most of the time if one dog tries to hump another, they're going to get growled at, snarled at, or
bit
if they don't stop. So poor little Charlie hasn't said to him, just like, you know, a little kid comes in the dining room and is like playing with himself, and the parents say, we don't do that in public, honey. So you need to set parameters and go, we don't do that in public, Bailey. You know, it's just you need to stop the behavior any more than you would want to stop his behavior if he was trying to dig a hole in the roses and go, we don't dig in the roses. You can dig over here. Right, Anne-Marie? I mean, unless maybe there's some comment from Charlie about it, but sometimes the people have to be the ones to set the boundaries.
And also, too, Jessica, sometimes it's a way for a dog to expend a lot of energy that it has within itself, and it just, even if it runs around and plays, it still has an overload of energy. It's got to get rid of it somehow, and sometimes that's one of the avenues it chooses.
Right.
Okay.
And so, you know, it really has to be something that he works out for himself and doesn't impose it on Charlie. And so, you know, it's just one of those things you just do any of the usual interrupt a behavior correction. Anything from immediately calling him to you and then telling him good boy and giving him a treat. Because the minute you interrupt that, call it semi-sexual behavior, if you interrupt it, it does stop. I mean, it's one of those things like, oh, I'm not in the mood anymore, you know. It's like the doorbell rings if humans are in bed, you know, and they're having sex, and then the doorbell rings and the phone rings, like, oh, ruined it. So you want to kind of ruin it for him by just interrupting it, you know, throw a ball or give him a treat or something like that, and just interrupt it. Because, you know, if you let him do it, it becomes a habit, and poor Charlie just is like, oh, God, I guess it's my job to put up with this. So Charlie just being that little dorky.
Yeah, and it happens a lot when they play. But I do, when I see it, I'm like, no. And I, you know.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, thank you. We're not interested in watching that little.
I don't need that in my living room.
That's right. No X-rated behavior in the living room because – and it's not fair to Charlie either, right? Well, I'm really glad you called. It's great to hear from you. You do such interesting stuff. I have to actually hook up – Dr. Sean Delaney from Pet Food Advisors, the show that's on Thursday nights at 9. Oh, my God. You would so love that show. It's so technical and divine.
Oh, I love that show. I listen
to it every week. Oh, I learned so much.
Oh, I love I love listening to him talk about all the scientific stuff because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's –
Yes, because I learned about that. So I need to hook him up with you. I think one of the other vets on one of the shows – already wanted to know about the blood work that your lab can do of testing blood of fat levels in blood for animals. But I'm sure he'd love it too because he's like Mr. Scientist and yet he's a great teacher. So you can understand what he's saying. Well, of course, you as a biochemist really can. But that would be great to hook you guys up. Yet another connection. So wonderful to have a biochemist as a listener. We're so lucky. Well, we're glad you called in. And I'd love to have a photo of Bailey, the adopted Eskimo dog. I'd like to see him, and I'll just drool over the picture a little. Such a cute – send him something in his little Delta.
I'll send you something on Facebook.
Yeah, send something on Facebook with a little Delta Partners, whatever you get, his award, his plaque, his little jacket, because that'd be real – that's really cool.
Yeah, I'll have his little badge. It's supposed to come in the mail really soon.
Exactly. We're thrilled that you called. Thank you so much. It cheered us all up after it turned out that my I know I'm not allowed to say dead, but my dead dog said something very depressing was going to be found out about my dead horse. So you cheered us right up. Thank you so much.
Have a great night, Jessica.
Look forward to talking to you again soon. Let us know about that anesthesia question. Definitely want to help you with that for sure. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, there's time for one more person or else me again. I have so many other animals to ask about. I suppose I should ask about an alive one, but the dead ones are riveting. I mean, the ones who crossed the Rainbow Bridge, sorry, not the word DEA dead. 888-627-6008. Give us a call. You'll get a chance to talk to Anne-Marie Sawicki right after this break. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. And you get $5 off if you're a first-time customer by going to TheHonestKitchen.com and put DogTalk5, as in $5, in the code box at checkout and save $5. So, Tinkerbell, I'd like to ask you about Tinkerbell, Anne-Marie.
Okay.
There is time for someone else to interrupt, and I'm happy to be interrupted because as the hostess, the guests need to have the chance to ask Anne-Marie, and we're getting towards the end of the show, 888-627-6008. But Tinkerbell was the baby born of incest between Jackson, General Jackson, and Jenny, which were a gray mom and a brown boy that was her son who hadn't been gelded. And we didn't know what had happened. And we got him gelded when we got him, which was pretty traumatic for him and for me. Mm-hmm. And Jenny just got fatter and fatter and fatter. And we thought she was just a big fat slob and she was slowing down and she wouldn't pull the cart. And come on, Jenny. And we would drive them around bareback. And one day we came out and there was a baby. It's like, oh, my God. Well, surprise, that's why she's so fat. And, you know, it takes a year. So, you know, you're a kid. A year is like 20 years. So we named her Tinkerbell. And she wound up to be a mini donkey. How ironic. I now have mini donkeys, Mona and Lisa, mother and daughter. But she was a mini, I guess, because it was out of incest. It's also embarrassing. Kind of, you know, like Appalachian. But Tinkerbell, I didn't know that donkeys should never be alone. So Jackie and Jenny went to one home when we moved to Italy, the same sort of move, a different time. And Tinkerbell got bought by this lovely family in Westport alone. Now, I've since learned that donkeys should never be alone, that they really absolutely need a companion. It can be a horse, it can be a goat, it can be another donkey, but being alone is really cruel to them. But she was a girl that even came in the house. She was tiny and adorable, little tiny feet. Now, in 1964 or whatever, it would have been 62, even though they lived to 40, she could maybe still, now she couldn't be alive. She'd be 50 by now. That's impossible. And she's a little brown, little mini donkey. She never got big. And she was just a little brown donkey in that little brown color where they're just brown all over. Delicate little thing. Very, very tame because, you know, from the time she was born, she just hung out with people. Any sense of where she is or how long she's been crossed over the bridge, or did she ever find her mother and father brother?
You had mentioned that she was in a home in Westport when you guys left.
Yeah, we lived in Westport and we sold her to someone else right in Westport. They had fenced backyard. They had her a pet, like a dog.
Right. I get the sense from what she's saying that she has transitioned, obviously.
Right.
But she never thought of herself as a donkey, and they never treated her like she was a donkey.
Cool.
She never felt alone, because what I'm being shown is she's showing me a cat, which isn't a kitten, but a full-grown cat, and what looks like to be a dachshund.
How cute!
These were all animals that, because she didn't know any better, they all basically hung out together. They were family.
Oh.
So she, to her, she was never alone, and she never felt alone.
That's
the other,
so cool.
The other thing I'm seeing is, I don't know if where she was kept, they had, like, from the yard, a back door into the house or something, into the
Very
kitchen.
Very possibly.
But I'm seeing her go, like, right into the house and get something from the woman in the house, like, from her hand and turn around and walk out. So whomever had her was very used to coming, her coming into the house and
I
could care less about it.
I love it.
So
my husband Edward has always wanted a wonderful
life.
My husband Edward has always said when it's raining and it's horrible, why can't we bring Mona and Lisa inside? Poor things. It's so wet and nasty out there. So I guess this lady really did have Tinkerbell come in. She was tiny. I mean, really tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a hoot? So she was just treated like a dog, really, like a member of the family, a dog, another pet.
Just
so that's
like a
good story.
Like a small animal.
Yeah. So that, so see, no tears, no muss, no fuss.
Absolutely.
That's a happy one. Phew, thank God. So
definitely.
She just, and should she stay with those people, as far as you can tell, until she
left
this planet?
She was with them for a very long time. So I'm assuming till it's when she transitioned.
Wow. Well, those of you that are ever considering about buying or adopting a mini donkey, they really aren't a lot of trouble, and they're very sweet. And you really could have them kind of in your backyard. I mean, your backyard wouldn't exactly look like a Martha Stewart's garden at the end.
That's for sure.
But, right? I mean, great for anyone who has a horse. I'm always trying to encourage people to adopt donkeys because there's lots of little rescues for donkeys.
Right.
And people often say, oh, you have donkeys? I've always wanted a donkey, which is sort of a funny idea. People walking around always wanting a donkey.
Well, believe it or not, folks, they are very sweet. They're very affectionate.
Yes.
Once they get used to you, I mean, they love to be with you. They'll follow you like a dog.
They will. They're so darling. I mean, they're funny. They're funny. But you do need to have more than one, unless you have, in the case of Tinkerbell and her dachshund and her kitty, unless you have other animals that the donkey will accept as his own. Well, those of you listening in the Halo City Tales store in New York City, we're glad you're there. We're glad you're doing good by giving donations to the Halo Pet Foundation, all of which goes to good causes to do with rescue. And you get Ellen T-shirts and swag to do with Ellen's TV show because she's a co-owner of the show, as you heard. They're also a wonderful sponsor of this show, which for support for which we are extremely grateful and proud to be connected to them. And my dogs, of course, are very thrilled and delighted and lick their chops twice a day because Halo is the kibble that they get in their bowl. And try to go to the Halo Facebook page so you know when they're having adoption events there. Go there, see the animals that are for adoption, and you can always get in touch directly with Anne-Marie Sawicki. If you connect with an animal or you wonder if you're connecting, are you making the connection Jessica made or is there something that doesn't feel right, you can have a private session with Anne-Marie Sawicki. Just go to RadioPetLady.com, go to the Cat Chat and Dog Talk page, and you'll see that Anne-Marie, the way to contact her and have a private session with her, whether or not you're thinking of adopting, maybe you just want to have some of the conversations we have on the air, but you don't feel like doing it in public. I can understand that, especially if your childhood dog intercedes and says, don't tell her. That was like, whoa. I mean, you know, that's what an older brother dog does for his younger sister human, right?
That's right.
He's always going to be 6 months older than me.
The love
steps
never
in and
stops.
Says, that's very smart on his part, I must say. Well, Anne-Marie, are you going to be at any dog shows or anything anytime soon where people could find you, or they should just find you through the link on the website?
They can just stop on your website to get to me or my website directly to see what's going on. There's a lot of things that are in the air right now, so stay tuned. You never know.
Terrific. You never know, and you do know for sure that the first Tuesday in July – this is where to be to talk to Anne-Marie and get your animals to talk to you. I mean, that's the thing. There's always those Dr. Doolittles who talk to the animals, but Anne-Marie does better than that. She talks to them, and then she talks to us. So it's a great little bridge between us. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for the time that you devote to all of our animals. We love you. They love you. And I look forward to talking to you a month from tonight.
Thank
Have
you,
a great
sweetie. Have a good one. Tonight. Everybody be safe.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for Dog Talk right after this, 5 minutes from now. Bye for now.